Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is program number 658. If you'd like to have a copy of it, Sharon will tell you how at the end of the program. Let us know whether you want a CD or an audio tape. They're both free, including the postage and handling. I've got music, I've got letters, and a strong message from the Lord. I'm going to be doing as usual to expose the Lord to you, who the real Lord is, who the real God of heaven and earth is, and who the faker is. But right now, let's bow our heads and let's talk to God. Father, I'm talking to you, Father. I pray that you will continue. You stated in the 24th chapter of Matthew, Lord, the things that you would be doing on this earth in the last days because of the sin that is going on and the belligerence against your word and the acceptance of Satan's fake government. Lord, pour out your spirit, let people receive your word that they may be saved, and also that the church will be strengthened. So many of them have fallen away, Lord. I pray that some of them are not that far gone to where they've been sent strong delusions. But I pray also, God, that you'll bless all those that are your children all over the world. Heal them. Open up doors for them. Open up doors for them, Lord, and their children. Rebuke those that are taking children away from the parents for absolutely no reason at all, just because they're goofing on Christians, just because of their hatred towards Christianity. Destroy those that are attempting to destroy your church, Lord God. As I see you destroying those that are of false religions that hate Christianity, Lord, close doors to them. Destroy Satan. Bind him. Resist him, Father God. I resist him by calling on you to rebuke him and bind him. You said, whatsoever is bound on earth shall be bound in heaven. Lord, I pray that you bind Satan and that you open up doors for us. Close every door for Satan and open all the major doors and minor doors, every kind of door to us. In Jesus' name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, here I am to sing with our orchestra and choir. Most of them have fallen away. They were for sure saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. And then they decided that they didn't want to put up with the persecution. They were afraid of persecution, just like most of the people in the world. I'm not afraid of it, because I know that there is a tremendous reward awaiting those of us that have your strong, powerful word in us and that will resist Satan so that he will flee from us. I have asked for the Lord's hand to be in mine, but there's more to it than that. He's in me, and he's beside me, and he conquers every enemy of mine, and he surrounds me with his guardian angels, and he gives me his word, which I call his hand in mine. Most of these people fell away from the Lord, that you're going to be hearing the beautiful voices of saved people. And now they've left the Lord for this present world rather than loving the world to come, which shows that God has blotted their names out of the Lamb's Book of Life. There's these false people like the Catholics, the Baptists, the same thing. They believe that you never can fall away. So Catholics are even rougher than the Baptists because they say, well, you can say a few Hail Marys and you'll still be saved if you murder people and if you just do wrong. But the Baptist says there's no way that you can. They are of the devil. They're the devil. It's the devil. So watch out for Baptists and Catholics. These are the ones that go to see Billy Graham when he was preaching out there. He's a Baptist. 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 I'm a Christian. A born-again Christian. Filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm a Jew. I'm a Jew, and I know how to say Moisha, filled with the Spirit, washed in the blood of Jesus. And some have said the head of God's army here on earth. We don't fight with bullets and bombs like the heathen do. We fight with the Word of God. Here I am to sing with these people that once were saved, but they're not anymore. Okay, take heed, Baptist. Singing His hand in mind. Praise the Lord. I still have my hand in the hand of the Lord. All right, now, and I pray that millions of you out there do, that you're not receiving anything. The only way to do that is there's so much diversion in the world. Satan is throwing more than 31 flavors at you. He's throwing everything in the kitchen sink at you in hopes that you'll be receiving some diversion so that your mind cannot be on the Lord, on the kingdom of heaven. So, through our ministry is revealing Satan, his church, his media, the government, today. The false Christians hate us for this. You won't even get them to say hello to us. And why? Because we're exposing them also to be fakers with their fake God in Rome, who exalts and opposes himself above God and his false church, government, and media. That Satan needed. Satan needed all these things to deceive the world. That's in Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. Read it, please.
And the great dragon was cast out.
Now look, the great red dragon is Satan. So he's been cast out of heaven. Then what?
That old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him.
All right. So he's deceiving the whole world. He deceived one third of the angels in heaven, and now he's busy deceiving more than one third of the world. He's deceiving the whole population, with the exception of those of us that are not of this world, that are of the kingdom of heaven. So that which he did, God said he would do in the books of Revelation. There are several Revelation type books. One is Daniel. Another one is Thessalonians, Matthew, and all throughout the Bible there are books that are revealing the things that Satan would be doing in these last days. If you watch the news, you'll see that Satan's church and government and the media, of course, expose itself nowadays. And if you knew the Bible, you would be able to see it very clearly. This exposure clearly. The Bible says that all nations would join and give power to the devil and his church and media. And the ones that are antichrist, those that left the Lord, that knew the Lord and left him, they give power unto the beast as well. That's Revelation chapter 17, verse 2.
With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication.
Okay. So the kings of the world, you know, these are like people like Bush, Clinton, and other people that God never chose. He never chose them. You did. You deceived people, chose these deceivable people. Bush is a Catholic. He says he's not. Clinton is a Catholic. He said he wasn't. He made sure that on Sundays he would be sitting where the cameras could see him in the church that would film their services. And the church leader, the pastor, was so proud to have the governor sitting and out there in his congregation. So, Irish Catholic, these people are all Irish Catholics. Ronald Reagan, Bush, Clinton, all of them. They went to schools, Catholic schools, all their lives. Deceptively, these people are, they call them different names, like Reagan, who is an Irish Catholic, they called him Dutch, has helped fulfill the scripture by unlawfully, unconstitutionally placing a federal agent in the false prophet's Vatican chambers. So these people are actual Jesuits. They're secret. They don't let you know they're Catholic because they know that there's a lot of people that if they knew they were Catholic and that they were Jesuits, that they wouldn't want them to leave the government. So they become Protestants until all could be accomplished according to the scriptures. All right, so the thing is we have some letters here before we get any further with this, Sharon. Okay, go ahead.
This is from Andhra Pradesh, India. Dear Pastor Tony, really it's a great privilege for me to contact you again. As I have been already writing to you, God is so good to us and made us a channel of blessing through your wonderful literature to many people in rural unreached villages, and especially for the orphans, most neglected and abandoned children in tribal villages and rural villages of India. In all our Revival Prayer Fellowship Village churches, 65 congregations, God has given us 100 children to be taken care of. and we have to bless them with all good things. I showed your Earthquake, Messiah, and Dry Bones magazines to all the children and explained the message of those books to them. They were all touched by such wonderful messages. Some of them were saved, and some of them doubled their strength of faith in the Lord. From then on, whenever they're gathering for prayer, they are praying for you and for your ministry. Especially, they are sending their love to you and promising their prayers for you, and also they're inviting rich blessings from God, and they're expecting a word indeed from their daddy, Tony Alamo. The kids call you daddy whenever they pray for you. Dear Pastor, we need your prayers and encouragement as we are planning to put all these kids in one place and look after them from June next month as the schools reopen after summer. So please, dear Pastor, we would like to continue distributing this wonderful and life-changing literature with all these kids. All our kids are very much interested to do so, as we have seen in villages when we went to distribute. But now they all are coming to stay in Agape with us, which will give us a very good chance to go to villages for distributing literature once in a week, along with children. So we request you to kindly send your Telugu literature, magazines, Messiah books, Telugu Bibles, and T-shirts for all 100 children in our Agape Children Home. Dear Pastor, as a servant of God and caretaker of these beloved little children, I put forth my request on behalf of those 100 children. Kindly consider them and give response. Encourage them with your enriched blessings. Also, as the Lord guides you, please extend your financial help to look after these beloved ones. Hoping to hear from you soon, thanking you very much, Pastor M. Hareth from Andhra Pradesh, India.
Okay, and another one?
Yes, from Abia State, Nigeria. Dear Pastor Alamo, how was your day? I greet you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I am Barhez from Nigeria, a friend to James Odemga, who gave me the newsletter and the Messiah book you sent to him. I read it and was very interested because it really changed my heart and the situation I am in. So I ask that you will, in the name of the Lord, send a Bible and Messiah book also, the newsletters. I will be very happy to hear from you. Thanks, and may the Lord keep on blessing you. Barthez Abibuka from Nigeria.
Okay, now a lot of people, the Catholics, people that are literally possessed with the devil, are screaming. These are Satan's people, are screaming, stop this at all costs. Stop Alamo at all costs. This is why President Clinton gave the order to have me assassinated. This was openly stated by John Peeler on Greg Szymanski's show when I was doing an interview there, and he was doing interviews with him. He's been saying it over and over again. Stop Alamo at all costs. He is exposing us. We must make new laws against the freedom of religion and the freedom of speech. We must be the only religion. Satan must be the only religion on earth. And we must get him in the press. We'll call it genocide. Arrest them as our father, the devil, 2,000 years ago arrested Jesus. And for centuries before and after that they are arrested, the people, the prophets and the apostles and disciples, arrest them. Put them in prison like he did Pastor Alamo. Throw him in there on false charges. They've actually put around 100 different fake charges on me, and I won every one of them before a jury, except the one on the Internal Revenue Service, because they wouldn't let my witnesses come to testify for me. They didn't believe the comptroller of Shell Oil Company. They just wanted me in prison. Satan wants me in prison. Arrest them and be expedient about it. To hell with the U.S. Constitution, the popes, all the popes say. Flush it down the pipes. To hell with American law. This is why they're using Roman canon law now. This is why our forefathers wanted to get away from these Catholics. And they put up signs, our founding fathers, warning the Catholics, don't tread on us. Don't do this to us again. Well, the things that they're doing now are the same things they did in Germany. Germany was just a dress rehearsal. This, what they're doing now, is the real thing. But this, what God is doing, is the real thing, too. He's destroying tens of thousands of people. They want the U.S. Constitution thrown out the window. Then burn it. Flush it down the toilet. And law enforcement can't do it. We'll enlist our brainwashed military forces as we did in Germany. The SS and the Gestapo. What we did in the Jews. We'll put those Christians in ovens. We'll put them to death. We'll make the people of the world to believe that they're the worst people on the face of this earth. Satan continues to screech, to scream. Should America continue to be Roman Catholic? We need not plead ignorance at the judgment bar of God for the reason of her shackles here on earth. But God is going to put some eternal shackles on them in hell and the lake of fire. The indelible record of history, to say nothing of the dreadful examples of contemporary Latin America, Spain, Ireland, Italy, and now the whole world, serve as a clear warning that Romans' objective has been clearly stated. And that the means by which she speaks and the means that she seeks to obtain her objective is not hidden any longer. She wants domination of man's souls. Satan doesn't want to give up the world. He won the world by lying. But now the Lord is taking it back through his people. We are the ones that are taking the world over. You people don't stand a chance. And we're doing it without even a cap pistol or a squirt gun. We're doing it with the word of God. And more, if we had more ministers like myself, it would be done more, a lot more expediently. So, the Lord wants dominion over men's souls. The Lord wants we Christians to have world dominion, not Satan. So all these things have been more clearly found in the Word of God. Here's a quote from a Catholic Jesuit oath. My Catholic son. They actually vow to be very secretive, to be clandestine. My Catholic son, herefore you have been taught to act the dissembler. In other words, you've been taught to dissemble everybody, to make confusion be in the church, to disagree with pastors. If you disagree with me, the Bible says to put you out and you have doubtful disputations. So among the Roman Catholics, to be a Roman Catholic and to be a spy, even among your own brethren, to believe no man, to trust no man among the reformers, to be a reformer among the Huguenots, to be a Huguenot among the Calvinists. In other words, go into a church and tell them you're anything that they will accept. To be a Calvinist among the Protestants. I don't agree with the Calvinistic doctrine anyway, so, you know, you generally to be a Protestant and obtaining their confidence to seek even to preach from their pulpits. and to denounce with all the vehemence in your nature our holy religion, whether it's actually unholy religion, and the Pope, and even to descend so low as to become a Jew among the Jews, this you might be enabled to gather together all information for the benefit of your order as a faithful Jesuit soldier of the Pope. You have been taught to insidiously plant the seeds of jealousy and hatred between states that were at peace and incite them to deeds of blood. James Wilkes Booth and his group murdered Abraham Lincoln because Lincoln emancipated the black people. And so they kill him because the Vatican hates blacks and Jews. This statement can be found in the Library of Congress that I just read to you. All you have to do is get the Jesuit oath in the Library of Congress in a book called The Engineer Corps of Hell by Edwin A. Sherman, E-D-W-I-N, capital A, period, Sherman, S-H-E-R-M-A-N, and it is also in the Congressional Record. And remember that presidents, governors, judges, and all Catholic government officials who take this oath owe allegiance to the Catholic devil, first and foremost. Even the most ignorant in the world is to be ignorant of the living Word of God. The most ignorant in the world is to be ignorant of the living Word of God. When you didn't know the Bible, you stumble in darkness like a blind man or a woman. John 12:35. Read it, please.
Then Jesus said unto them, Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth.
Right. The light of the world is the Word of God. If you don't know it, and if you don't follow through, if you are willingly blind, then you're willingly going to be shocked at judgment. For you can see not where you go. Billions have lived and died in vain and are experiencing hell. Not for just an experience and to go on to a new experience, but to experience forever the burning lake in the pit, which cannot be extinguished, cannot be quenched. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, grinding your teeth forever. Matthew 8:12. Turn to Matthew 8:12. Read it, please.
But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Mm-hmm. You know, the Bible says that the first, those that accepted the Lord, shall be last. The people of the kingdom that didn't continue on in the word shall be cast into the lake of fire. So why do you Baptists continue to say that once saved, always saved? That's John Calvin's garbage. Don't believe that. Believe the Bible. Amen?
Amen.
If the masses who are ignorant to the Bible knew God's word, they would know, as I know, that Satan needed his church and that he... And that his church needs an enforcing power, a government, to eliminate all other religions and promote herself only. Satan had to first cunningly arrange all governments under his control. And that's the way it is. It's the United Nations, the one world government, the United Government. And he has to have a media so that the media can exalt him and put down every true Christian church. This must be done quietly, slowly, with patience, secrecy, by followers who are firmly committed by that Jesuit oath to never forget their wicked leaders' motivations. Do what I tell you, he says, the Pope says, or I'll have you killed. America, just look at it. I mean, here I'm not doing anything to hurt anybody, it seems, but the Jesuits, because I'm teaching people the truth and they hate truth. Yet they put out hits on my head. And when John Peeler didn't assassinate me, they threw his boy in prison, and he's been there for years. America must be handled with extra cunning and secrecy, for this nation was founded on something that makes Satan sick to his stomach. It makes Satan see red. There's something. That something is, quote, "In God we trust," unquote. Now, they're saying, well, we must make the people God prevalent in the nation. But what the Pope is doing, he says that on one corner of his mouth. And on the other side of his mouth, he's saying, take God out of schools, take the Bible out of schools, take God off currency, make it a sin to say, "In God we trust." America was founded on the solid rock, Christ Jesus. The Word of God is the Christ Jesus, which Satan's church, government, and media workers hate. They would, and they just keep talking, and because they just talk so freely, and when something isn't resolved according to God's law, they say, well, our Roman canon law will take care of it ourselves. Well, in that case, the Constitution says that there's no church that should have any special preference, and that the government shall not honor any one church, especially a cult. But can you see that that's what they're doing? The government, which is run by the Pope, is no longer the U.S. government, because they took the U.S. Constitution away when we decided to become part of the one world government, the Antichrist government, the Antichrist cult. All the presidents are saying we'll do whatsoever the Pope tells us to do. Why? He's in Rome. We're here in the United States of America. We're supposed to have sovereignty. We're supposed to have one nation, uno, one nation under God, with liberty for all who have freedom of speech, freedom of religion. But it isn't that way anymore. Can't you see that? You're not that stupid, are you, really? They would make us believe that this country was founded on the Statue of Liberty. It wasn't. The Statue of Liberty was given to us by France because the French recognized that we had a liberty that all the other nations did not have. This freedom was not established and founded on the Statue of Liberty, but on the Word of God. The Word of God. The Word of God. Yes, because the Word of God sets men free. It lets you preach the gospel. It tells you the truth. Yes, they desperately try to misrepresent the true meaning of freedom. in America. And that is, quote, in God we trust, not in this man-made, one-way, satanic, Satan government, cult, and media. Since the birth of our nation, trusting in God, Satan's Jesuits and their leaders have constantly echoed, quote, we can't allow Christianity to exist because it exposes us as being the devil. We must set up a church in America for our leader, Satan. We must penetrate into America's workforce, her free government, her free press, establish unions, and of course, do our best as usual to foster crime, vice, corruption. Entertainment, amusement, and drugs must be controlled by us, as per usual throughout the world. The Catholic cult is the mafia, and the government agents are mafia. They definitely are. You can't get a fair shake if you're a Christian in a courtroom. All the judges are actually Catholic priests, and all the governors are actually Catholic cardinals. And finally, we must weaken, the devil says, this godly nation whose foundation is based on the in God we trust, on the Word of God, and that stands on the whole untwisted Word of God by presenting it with our Father. Satan's message is what they're saying. The one that he first preached in person to Eve in the Garden of Eden. Satan told him, we will preach that throughout the ages. God doesn't hate anything. This false message, God doesn't hate anything. Yeah. And God's not going to kill his people. God is love. The Bible is a myth. And that the Pope is God. If we can penetrate all churches with this false message, we can win America to Father Satan. And he will reward us handsomely. The Lord is the one that's going to reward you handsomely. He's going to put you in hell in the lake of fire. You might get a little bit of reward in this temporal world. At least he says that he will. If we can stop people from reading the Bible or get them to read one of our new modern versions of the Bible, why then, we can now even get the idiots to believe that the Lord of hosts even loves our father, the devil. Have you ever heard that doctrine? I have. We'll say that God loves sin. God loves filth. God loves corruption. And everything that God says would make us go to hell, God actually loves it. But in reality, God despises Satan because it was because of Satan that Christ had to come and bear the shame of the cross. The Bible says that Jesus hated the shame of the cross. They had to die on the cross and then go to hell for us. For 3 days and three nights. But he rose from the dead and is alive at the moment, folks. And you can get a hold of the Lord. All you have to do is cry unto him. I'm still in the 14th chapter of the book of Romans. Verse 4 says, who art thou that judges another man's servant? We're not to judge people with our own judgment, like the Vaticanites do and like you see so many people doing today. We are to judge all things by the Word of God. That's not our judgment any longer. It's God's judgment. Amen?
Amen.
So, to his own master, he stands or falls. All these people are making up rules and regulations that are not God's rules and regulations. And they don't keep God's rules and regulations like they like to be homosexuals and lesbians. It feels good, they say. It just feels so good, don't you know? Yea, he shall stand. He shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. Verse 5. One esteemeth one day above another, and another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. The Lord doesn't care if people do esteem different days as something, or they don't esteem them at all. For instance, I don't esteem any day as the Sabbath. I esteem all days as the Sabbath, because the Bible tells us that we have to come to Christ and he will give us Sabbath rest, which means every day we Sabbath or rest from the evil works that we used to do. We now do let God take over our life. He lives in us and we live in him, but he lives in us to do his will. Therefore, he wants us to die from our old works, that he'll do the work in us. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord. That's what I do. I regard every day as the Sabbath. Therefore, I'm open to any of the Lord's commands on any day to do what he wants me to do. And he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth, eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not, to the Lord he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. Verse 7, for none of us liveth to himself. In other words, everybody in the world that we are around is seeing the way we are. And they can see that I hate evil. They can see when people say, well, we're favorable to your church. That really angers me, because who are they that says we're favorable to God's church? You should be serving in the Lord's church, not just say, I'm favorable to it. For one, none of us live to himself or herself, and no man dieth to himself. Oh, no. There's evil angels going to take you, drag you down into hell, or the Lord's angels are going to come, or even the Lord himself, and bring you up to heaven, the Holy Spirit. For whether we live unto God, we live unto the Lord. And whether we die, we're going to die unto the Lord, because that's where you're going immediately, whether you like it or not. And no matter who you are, oh, I'm the President of the United States. No, you're going to be just like a kid that needs a diaper changed when the Lord comes to get you. There'll be presidential dung in your pants, for sure. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. The Lord made all of us, and therefore we have to stand judgment before him. Whether you like it or not, that's the way it is. The Lord set it up that way. That's the way it's going to be. Verse 9, for to this end Christ both died, He died because he knows we're all going to have to face God. He knows that God is a good God, but he's also severe. For to this, then that's why Christ both died and rose from the dead and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. In other words, those that are dead for eternity, they're not going to be unconscious. They're going to be dying daily in hell, gnashing their teeth, screaming their heads off, grinding their teeth, chewing on their tongue for pain every day, every second, all the time, never stops. Verse 10, but why dost thou judge thy brother with your own judgment? Or how do you know that the Lord never told this person or that person to do what they're doing? You don't know. God told a prophet to marry two hookers, and it was of the Lord. And another, he told to walk around nude for several years, and he had to do it. You judge them, this man is indecent. Yeah, it would be if God never told you to do it. But if he told you to do it, then you better. God gave several wives to David and many other people in the Bible, Moses. Oh, well, I mean, God gave it to them. But why do you judge your brother? Why are you judging Moses and Jacob or Israel? Or why dost thou set at nothing, at naught, thy brother? Because God told them to do what they're doing, and you are a raging fool. For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. You know, if I'm doing wrong, God's going to judge me severely and throw my soul into hell. And if you are falsely accusing me or any other Christian, you're going to hell. Because you're judging with your own judgment. For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Those of us that are Christians, those that are not will stand before the judgment bar of God. Verse 11, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, and I live, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. You know, you're just big and bold with your tongue now, but you're going to be saying, thou art God, thou art God, thou art Jesus, okay, and you're the Lord, you're the Lord. And it's too late then. And God says when you're doing that, he's going to mock at you and laugh. Ha, ha, ha. God say, I am God, I am God, you are God, you are God. Yes, I know I'm God. You're going to say it too. Verse 12. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God, nobody else. You're not going to be standing before Satan, because Satan's going to be in the same predicament as you. You and your father, the devil. Verse 13. Let us not therefore judge one another. That means with our own judgment. Let's not do that anymore, he says. But judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. If you're using your own judgment, that's what you're doing, and the blood of that person's soul is you're going to be accounted for it at the judgment bar of God. If you've caused people to fall, you're going to burn in hell, because God wants you to be a person that helps people get into heaven and not bring your own rotten judgment and false accusations and lies. Verse 14. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus. I'm persuaded by Jesus, not Satan, that there is nothing unclean of itself. But to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. So, But that doesn't mean that if you're judging someone falsely and bringing false accusations about it, that that isn't unclean. It says that the things that the Lord says are unclean are unclean. I know I'm persuaded by the Lord, Jesus, that there is nothing that he says is clean that is unclean of itself. But to him that esteemeth anything that the Lord says not unclean. Let's see. To him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it will be unclean on you. But if the Lord says it's clean, it's clean. Verse 15, but if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, that the things that you're doing that you know that the Lord says is all right to do, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. In other words, if you're eating something that somebody thinks is not right, oh, the chicken is contaminated today, the beef is contaminated, unless the Lord tells you don't eat it, well, don't judge him for it. The Lord told me not to eat dairy or beef because to me it is unclean. And so don't be judging me because I'm doing what the Lord said to do. Verse 16, let not then your good be evil spoken of. In other words, all things are lawful to me that the Lord said are lawful for me. But all things are not expedient. So if you think something that I'm doing is wrong, well, I will not do it in front of you. And the Lord allows that. Okay, so we're at verse 16. And I've got more on other subjects tomorrow. And we're going to continue with this. But right now, my time has gone away. So we need to pray now. Let's all pray that we get the right message from the Lord and that we are kind to our brothers and sisters. Some people drink wine. And maybe it might be lawful for me to have a glass of wine, but I don't do it because of the fact that I'm a diabetic and it's got too much sugar in it. But I will not drink any wine, not just because of the fact that I shouldn't, and it's a diabetic, and it would be bad for me. But if another brother thinks that it's evil, I won't do it. That's what that means. Now, Father, those that believe your word, they're going to call on you and say this to the Lord. Now, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my former filthy sins. And I believe that you, Father, raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all of my former filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Your word says you'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know that you have heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now praise and thank the Lord. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. And Sharon, tell everyone how to receive a copy of this audio tape or CD, number 658. It's free.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas, 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370. That's 479-782-7370. Or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Praise the Lord. This is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying tune in tomorrow for another one day at a time message that would get you to heaven. Now, the Bible tells us, let him, the word of God, be all you need for tomorrow, for today, tomorrow, and forever. And this is myself singing it for you. Let him be all you need.
Let it be.
And hurt gets you down. He won't be in your way, just around. If you're needing a shoulder when your feet run low, let him be all you need for
sorrow. Let him be all you need.